Hey guys, welcome to WXBR. Today we're going to talk about crossing boundaries. Now I'm pretty sure that all of you out there have boundaries and standards for yourself as well as others. Today we have Danielle, Jess, Kenny, and Viet, and they have interviewed someone, whether it was a family member or just a close friend. So I am going to have them introduce themselves, starting with Danielle, and just tell the folks out there a little bit about your topic.
Hi, my name is Danielle, and I study best friend relationships.
Hi, my name is Jessica, and my topic is personal boundaries.
Hi, my name is Kenny, and my topic is about education being a boundary.
Hi, my name is Viet, and my topic is starting over.
Hi, as most of you guys know, my name is Raven, and the topic of my interview is about relationships and gender. When you think of the word boundaries, what comes to your mind?
When I think of boundaries, I think of like things that I won't do and things that I will do. It makes me think of respect for myself and respect for others.
Okay, what boundaries do you have for yourself?
When it comes to certain things, like socially, the boundaries that I have socially are, as far as people that I hang out with, I would like to hang out with people who have the same mindset as me and the same mentality.
Right.
And that is a boundary that I don't like to cross, because I find that it's easy for other people to bring you down if you're not at the same level.
Now, what about people that you don't really know, and like you're meeting them for the first time or something like that?
It's always good to give people a chance, because you never know like what type of person you could miss out on. Right. So it's always good to get to know someone.
Has any time in your life, has any type of boundaries been crossed as far as, you know, some of the standards that you may have for yourself or for other people?
I would say I could share a story about me and my roommate.
Okay.
For like a boundary that I feel like she shouldn't have crossed.
Right.
Because when you room with someone else, you have to consider the fact that you're not alone anymore, mm-hmm. in a room, that you guys are together.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a habit of bringing other people into the room early in the morning.
Oh.
While I'm still sleeping. And they always have like really loud conversations, and so I never have a problem with anyone being in the room, but I feel like she should have respect and she should set a boundary for herself that she wouldn't invite other people in and have like loud conversations while her roommate is there. Right. Sleeping, because I know that's a boundary that I have for myself. I wouldn't cross that line. I wouldn't do things like that to interrupt her time when she's sleeping or resting. She didn't realize that she was doing anything wrong.
Mm.
So she seemed like kind of, she made it seem as if she was really innocent because she didn't know what was going on. So I accepted it, and I just let her know that it's not something that I would do to her.
Uh-huh.
And that maybe if I did, she would see how it felt, but I'm not the type of person. So
Right. We
had that discussion, and she was very apologetic about it.
Now, you're in college, and you know, you see a lot of people, you know, go through, you know, their everyday college life. So what do you think, you know, from your friends, what do you think their boundaries are for you or their standards that they have? And do you think that you meet those requirements?
I think they see me as a type of person that when I have to get work done, or if I have a paper that I have to write,
Right.
I shut down from all the world.
Right.
And they know not to cross a boundary. They know not to come knocking on my door or calling me or anything to go hang out or anything. They know that I have a paper that's due. So, and that's a boundary that they won't cross. And I have that same respect for them.
Do you think that these standards and these boundaries will remain? Or do you think that they will change, you know, as far as you continue to meet new people? And
I think that they'll stay the same. I think think that the boundaries and the standards that I have will stay the same because so far they've worked for me.
Okay. So that's good. So as far as dealing with the opposite sex, do you think that you have good standards and boundaries as far as you knowing what you want in the guy or, you know, what you find attractive? Do you think that those standards?
I think that I have good standards when it comes to seeing what I want in a guy because I feel that, like, there's no problem with being friends with a male. Like, trying, if that person is trying to cross over and make it into a bigger relationship than what it is, like, I won't fall into that pressure or feel pressured in any way.
Right.
To me, it's just a given if I feel like you're a friend to me.
Has anybody that is a male crossed a boundary of yours, whether it was in elementary school, middle school, high school?
Yeah, I would say a long, long time ago in elementary school, this one boy who was, we were really good friends for all of elementary school.
Right.
And we were playing tag. We were playing hide and go seek actually outside. And we made the game for us to be partners.
Right.
And he was my partner. And so we were hiding or whatever. And so then he started to he put his arm around my waist and I was just like, what? Like, no, get off of me.
Yeah.
Like, we're in elementary school, first of all, and don't touch me, second of all. And so he crossed that boundary, but I feel like it's important to let people know right then and there, like, what your boundary is. If they cross it, let them know. Like, so that's what I did, even being young. That's what I did, and I feel like problems were resolved. Even as we got older, like, oh, you can't mess with Brittany like that.
Do you ever see, or have you seen him, and, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As we got older, he grew into, like, a big flirt, like, in a touch girls and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you just give me some type of examples of the standards that you have as far as respect, as far as how he treats you?
I feel like the standards that I would have with a male, well, first off, I guess, I don't know if this is too big of a step, but I don't believe in sex before marriage.
Right.
That's a big boundary that I have.
Okay.
And so that's just one in particular that I have for all males.
And, you know, because I believe in that too. And not only because it's a religion thing, but just because,
morally. You know,
yeah, morally and respect for myself and for the other person as well.
Right. I have a boundary of how, as far as males, of how they talk to me. I won't.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
I feel like I have a name that I was given when I was born. If you want to know it, you come approach me and ask me for it.
Right, don't just yell my name. Like, especially if a woman, if a woman wasn't raised like, you know, raised in that type of environment, and you want to suck her into
to that,
I think that is, you know, I think that's wrong. How do you feel when you see a boy do that, and, you know, and you see the girl respond to it and engage into it?
It makes me feel, it almost makes me feel defeated as a female because I see that, like, I mean, it's fortunate that some people are raised in households that teach them how to respect themselves and others aren't. But it's like when you see someone who gives into that type of disrespect, it makes you feel for them, like you just want to tell them that they are better than that. They should hold themselves higher than that standard.
And being an African-American woman, and you don't want to be a statistic.
Exactly.
One of the black statistics. And, you know, that just puts even, because, you know, a lot of girls these days, they have babies.
Right.
And then they got a whole bunch to deal with.
Right.
And, but, do you think that a lot of these males have high standards, but they kind of fall into peer pressure.
I think that a lot of males who could have high standards for themselves, and they see, like, people around them, and they see that they may get more attention from girls or whatever because their standards are low, which and shouldn't be the right way. But they may see that, and that may make them feel like they want that same attention, so they're going to act like them and do the things that they do so they can get the same responses from girls.
A life without your best friend is like a life without a backbone. I mean, your best friend's always going to be your backbone. They're always going to be there for you. They're like your personal cheerleader. And they're supposed to support you no matter what you're going through, what you did, or anything. Best friends are humans, too. There's going to be a lot of problems that you guys will need to overcome, and many boundaries that will be crossed. But being part of a best friend relationship is that you get to learn how to overcome these boundaries that are being crossed. I nearly left the real me on the shelf. According to Urban Dictionary, best friends are very special people in your life. They are the first people you think about when you're making plans. They are the first person you go to when you need someone to talk to. You will phone them up or just talk about nothing, or the most important things in your life. When you're sad, they will try their hardest to cheer you up. They'll give you the best hugs in the world. They're the shoulder to cry on because you know that they are truly caring about you. In most cases, they would take a bullet for you because it would be too painful for them to watch. Brushing my hair, do I look perfect? I forgot what to do to fit the mold. Yeah. The more I try, the less it's working. I saw a Facebook status one day. It was of a poem called Through Thick and Thin by Annie Hall. I could skip a heartbeat and I would still survive. I could be in a car crash and still be alive. The clouds could fall out of the sky. The ocean could disappear and all turn dry. Through these things in life are all bad, I know. But there's far worse things, just thought you should know. Life would not be the same without someone like you. You're there when I need you to help me through. Through the good times and through the bad, be them happy or be them sad. Just thought you should know how much you mean to me. Many people believe that boundaries don't exist anymore. Is expressing yourself to someone crossing boundaries? Boundaries help to keep us safe. They help us stay in our comfortable environment. But most of all, boundaries are there to protect us and protect us from physical pain and emotional pain. Some of the most easiest boundaries that people can cross, it's joking around and making fun of people in ways that it hurts emotionally. Friends will always come and go, but best friends are always there to stay. A best friend is the one person out of the whole world that's supposed to understand you and to support you 100%. They're a person who cares without hesitations, who will love you, and who will always be there to listen and to help you when life is against you. But most of all, they're a person who stops you from doing bad things. But they also love you without limitations and hesitations. What is the best friend to you? And how do they help you through your everyday life?
Yeah, I tell her everything. And, like, she hasn't crossed me or anything. So that's why we, like, really close.
And then there's those that you think are your best friends, but they're really not.
I had girls that was, like, I thought was my best friend. But, yeah, they didn't, like, they weren't really there for me. So I didn't consider them best friends.
And then the times they're not even there.
Like if I was going through something or sad or something or wanted to go out, it wasn't there, or like they kept a whole lot of drama and stuff going. I didn't have a guy best friend. I got guy friends and we're really close, but I wouldn't say that we're best friends.
Maybe don't recognize what you got between your eyes.
But if I was to have a guy best friend, I would like one, like a gay guy best friend, because like they're more fun than just regular boys.
Let you know what you know, let you find before you see. And even your spouse can be your best friend. Daddy.
Yes.
Why is mommy your best friend?
Because mommy and daddy. You don't know what I'm saying, then baby, I'm telling you. You believe in soulmates?
Do I?
Yeah. Why don't you turn to that song, Soulmates?
When did you know mommy was your best friend?
When she told me that I was her best friend. To
feel only reason I know, because I headed down that.
And then there's different types of friends. Work friends, school friends, and just plain party friends. Nathan, who's your best friend?
School friends or regular friends? Or church friends? I wanna see you grow, I wanna see you glow.
There are many types of people, different types of friendships, and different kinds of boundaries. Maybe you don't recognize. And when you put them together, you have a friendship. You're a prized possession. A friendship that's worth so much, with so many different boundaries. Only reason I What is the world without best friends?
I am interviewing two people on how education is a boundary in their life. Growing up, were there any expectations based on your race?
I guess the first expectation is that Asian people are supposed to be really smart. This was like an expectation mostly filled by my parents.
There were some expectations considering being an Asian American, Coming from a second generation family, it is expected for us to do well in school since we were given the opportunity. So I was expected to get good grades all the time, and like, I guess being a stereotypical Asian, I was supposed to be good at math and science, but those were actually my weakest subjects. So yeah, basically grade-wise, there was a lot of expectations.
I remember every time, if I got a 90 and above, then I was fine, that was expected of me. But if I got like an 89 and below, then I would be in trouble. Like, I remember she would always yell at me whenever I got an 89 or below, and I would get really nervous. So, which is why I tried to hide it for as long as I could until the end of the night. Yeah, it's mostly from my parents.
So education was a requirement to do the things that you wanted to do?
Mm-hmm. Whenever I wanted to do anything fun, if I had gotten a bad grade, she would blame it on that. If I went out with my friends and I got a bad grade, she would blame it on that. My mom made me pretty competitive. It's really bad. Like, in school, she would always make me compare against my friends. If she felt like one of my grades was too low, she'd be like, okay, so how did your so-and-so friend do? And then she would compare with that. So if I had done not so well and my friend had done well, she would consider that, she would think that I had slacked off and I need to try harder. And part of it is just because, like, you know, Asian people feel like education is so important. Another part of it was just because we were poor. So my mom always felt that we couldn't afford my college tuition unless I worked really hard and gained scholarships, which is why I remember during my summers, like in my 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, every single summer, I would hit the books. Like, I would study my butt off for the SATs. Every single morning, I'd wake up, study like 5 vocabulary words. On the weekends, I would do math problems. I would do readings. We never really did the classes because I didn't. One, it's a lot of money for the classes. And two, I felt like I was doing fine without them. So, yeah, it's just most of it was trying hard to, you know, gain scholarships for education.
How did it feel to be one of the first kids in the family entering high school and college?
It was scary. There was like nobody to look up to, so I couldn't go up to like one of my family members like, okay, so how do I prepare for SATs, or do you think I'm good enough to get into college, or oh, what do you think of my college essay? So I pretty much did everything for myself. I looked for scholarships, I applied to colleges, I signed up for the SATs, I followed up with all the schools to make sure I got in, I handled my financial aid. Like, my parents, they helped me, they tried to help me as best as they can. Like, they would ask their friends who had kids in college for help, but other than that, like, I researched the schools I wanted to go to. I wanted to be a pharmacist, so I researched all the pharmacy schools that was around, and I pretty much got into all of them. Actually, no, I did get into all of them. So, it's hard, because my parents always like, well, you're the first one, you're supposed to be the role model. So if like I mess up, then they can look at me and say, well, Kim messed up, then I can mess up too. So that's why it's like I always try to set a high standard for everyone.
Was it mostly on your parents or was it on you?
I think at first it was mostly because of my parents. Because when I was younger, they were always pushing me. They were always like, it's telling me you can do better, even though if I had like a 90, they would tell me I could have a 95. If I have a 95, they told me I could have 100. So they were always pushing me until I was about like 4th or 5th grade. And then I put like their external push became my internal push, and I was always just trying hard to do the best I can. Like in college, if I felt like I didn't do well enough, then I'm going to try harder on the next exam. Like right now, I'm studying off my butt off, with all the hardest rotations for pharmacy school. And, well, I'm struggling, but I'm learning a lot. And it's because, well, you know what? I want to try my best. I want to take the hardest courses. I want to learn as much as I can. And I want to succeed.
So basically, it all started because of your parents?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you feel that you can't have anything else but to do that?
At first it did. But now that my parents see that I'm almost in pharmacy school, they're actually a lot more relaxed about that. They've always been worried about, like, boys with me. So they've always said, oh, no boyfriends until you're, like, 18. And then once I hit 18, you're like, no boyfriends until you're 20. And when I hit 20, you're like, no boyfriends until you graduate. So that's one thing. And just like going out, hanging out with my friends, they were really strict with. They were just pretty overprotective with everything.
Can you say that education is like a culture in your family?
Yeah, I feel like in our family, if you look at where the money's spent in our family, it's mostly towards education. Like, I was always getting, like, A's in classes, and my parents still hired a tutor for me to make sure I do better in classes. If you look at our little cousins, like, they spend our aunts and uncles spend so much money for, like, their tutoring and just trying to make sure, like, they do well on the SATs, the standardized tests, to improve their writing skills.
Did you shy away from your tradition and culture?
Sometimes. I think when I was in kindergarten or first grade, I didn't really understand English, and that made it really difficult. And I felt that as I tried to learn more English and become better at my English, I've stopped speaking Vietnamese so much and stopped practicing. So that's one example of shying away from my culture. It's like,
let's say you were your own parent. Would your expectations be the same?
Well, if I was my own parent, I think my expectations would be the same. Just because, well, my parents really couldn't help me that much. Just because, well, they were both computer majors, so they didn't really understand that much about science and pharmacy. So I remember one time I asked my mom to help me with organic chemistry. She just gave me a textbook and said, go read that. I think when I have kids, though, my expectations are going to be higher of them just because I'll have a strong background in science. I'll be a pharmacist. So I would want to push my kids to be a doctor, be more successful than I am, because I feel like with each generation, you should be more successful.
Most
things start because of your parents. Nature versus nurture, I think it's a lot of nurture.
Today, we're going to be talking about starting over. Many people start different things over, like work. But my dad, he started his life over at the age of 36. Now, starting your life over isn't something that you normally would hear people doing. Now, here's my dad going to talk about different things he missed and different goals he had when he moved to America.
Start my life over. First thing, I came to the United States, and a week later, I find a job, and I work like a steel worker in a big manufacturer, and they fabricate the steel frame for the house, for the shopping mall, for the manufacturer, and they make a stairway, steel stairway, and I love that job. But for the first time, I feel, because I come here single and I feel lonely, and I miss my country, I miss my culture, I miss my family, and it makes me a hard time for a year or two to get used to with that. And finally, when I, the first thing I live in the south, it's warm weather, and I move to the north, and I used to with the cold weather, and I used to with the work. Every day I have like a welder, so I feel better. That's what I start.
Here he starts answering questions about different things, like his image of America, and if he was afraid to come and start over his life.
Not why you have to afraid to go to America. If you tell me I have to afraid leave America, that I say yes, but I don't afraid to go to America. America still be a country in the earth, not in the heaven. So to me, human is always human. And human will be the same everywhere in the world. So I have no reason, no nothing to change my image. Because I reach my goal, I reached my goal and I have nothing else to complain. The boundary. I have been learning the English in high school about like 5 or 6 years. But that's the language of the foreigner. What we used to say the English as second language. That looked like a broken language because when I first came to the United States, and every time I trying to talk to somebody, but they never understand me. And then I lived in the United States for a while, like 6 months, a year later. People begin to understand what I'm talking about. The more I stay, the better language I have. The goal just find a good life in America and find a good education and in another level. And finally, I reach the goal I have that for the civil engineer. Work in a higher level. Part of the of the world, it mainly different meal for everyday living. Practically, we eat rice the most for the most of the food in our life. And the first time I live in America, I have to eat bread more than rice, or almost like bread, nothing with like rice. So that make me feel like a little bit different in my life, and I have to struggle with that for a while. But then later on, I eat both rice and bread, and especially I feel better. Yeah, because we came from Asia, and especially from Vietnam. The Vietnam language is the single sound. The single sound for every word, and the English is multiple sound, and it need to make the people understand by the action of the sentence. And we used to with the single sound. And we speak language, we speak English like Vietnamese, so people doesn't understand what I'm trying to say. And then I try to listen more, watch TV, and practice to pronounce and try to think by English instead of thinking Vietnamese in the head, in the brain, in the mind. So when I thinking in English, it makes me useful with the English, and when I open my mouth, I can speak whatever I want to say, and that way the people easier to understand what I'm talking about.
When my dad started over his life, he left many things behind.
I miss the home country. About the new year, about the life of the family, about the culture, about the people. Most of everything make me miss a lot. But wherever you born and you grow up in the family and you feel like normal. But we cannot compare like the young boy in America different to the young boy in other country. They will all the same. The life a little bit different about the daily living, food, toy, whatever, but the life is the same. And I love my childhood in Vietnam too.
Hi, this is Jessica Maiorano, and I'm here to talk about crossing boundaries. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to make a boundary for yourself right at that moment? Well, I interviewed Louis Maiorano, who is also my father, and he's going to tell you about his boundaries. The first thing I asked him was, how do you define a boundary?
I define a boundary in my mind, which is not too much or not enough.
Then I asked him what types of boundaries he has. Louis works at Gino Steaks, and he's talking to customers all the time, and he needs to deal with certain things.
I have many boundaries, but for example, I work with the public. So if I'm speaking to somebody or waiting on somebody, and somehow the argument, as somehow the conversation gets out of hand, I try to stop it or end it before it escalates into an argument, and I'll set a boundary in my mind. Once somebody crosses a line in my head, and I just try to stop it there.
Boundaries change people's lives, and sometimes it doesn't.
The boundaries change my life and my everyday decisions. My boundaries I set, most of the time, I try to set the boundaries to keep me out of trouble.
People have many reasons why they set certain boundaries for themselves. Sometimes they make you a better person, or you just continue to say the same. So I asked Louis if his boundary is continuing to make him a better person. So do you think that this boundary has made you a better person?
The boundaries I set made me a better person because it keeps my life in a balance in my mind so I could achieve more stuff or know if I'm achieving more stuff or being a better person or not being a better person. According to the boundaries I set in my head for the things that I think about.
Some boundaries are made by the way some people see themselves. How do you think other people see you?
I think other people see me as a hard worker and a respectful person.
What are some words that you would describe yourself as?
One word describes me is kind of perfection because I want to do the best I could possibly do. Always try to be perfect. And what I do, not do things halfway. If I do it, I want to do it my best. And I like to be kind of in control, like controlling, not that I want to control, but I just want to be in control of what I'm doing and guide me and everybody in my life to a better way, or that I think that's a better way for everybody.
You never want someone to cross your boundaries, but have you ever crossed anyone else's boundaries?
I try to keep my own personal boundaries and try to adapt that to what somebody else might be thinking the same way as I want to be treated, So I try to put perspective in that my boundaries are mostly similar to somebody else's boundaries. And what I wouldn't like, I wouldn't do to somebody else. So I kind of anticipate my own boundaries and assume them on somebody else's and try not to cross anybody else's boundaries.
There are boundaries that a lot of people follow, or there are boundaries that you just follow. But the question is, do you think boundaries are created for you, or do you create them?
I think they're created for me and for everybody else's personal space. Just like if I was speaking to somebody, I wouldn't stand so close to where I was in their face, and like it looked like that I'm in their face trying to talk to them. So it might look like I'm being pushy. So I'll stand back and talk to somebody, not too far, not too close, to have a good, as you say, boundary in between our conversation.
To end this, Lewis is going to tell us a story about one of the times he crossed his boundary.
Working with the public, you try to keep boundaries with your customers. People like to vent. When they spend money to buy something, they like to complain about it. And you just have to take it. Sometimes they'll get all upset with you and start calling you names and this and that. And you just have to, like, sit there and say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, and this. Because this way, when they don't see you fight back, then they can only say so much. And they can get you, I guess, like, riled up and make you argue with them what they want. And when you show them you don't do it, then they realize I can't get nowhere with this person because this person won't fight back with me. So I might as well just keep my opinions to myself, because what I learned from working with the public and working around people, if I go to an establishment, if I see that I don't like something they do, I don't get mad at them. I just say to myself, I'm not going to go. So I'm not going to say something to the people and try them to let them see my way of how they should run their restaurant. I just won't go to their restaurant or their store or whatever it is, because I just won't put myself in that position, because I know from experience myself, I'm not going to argue with how people do it. I'm just going to not go there. I'll just find a place that suits me or makes things or does things the way I like it. And it just helps me keep boundaries with other people and with myself by working with the public like that.
Is it hard to keep what you want to say to yourself?
It's very hard. There's a lot of times I don't know, I might take it out on myself afterwards. I bottle it up, and then I'll go home and like have an outlet at home or something. You know, I'll go home like, and I'll pet the dog to make up for it or something. Like, I play with the dog, get it out of my system for the aggravation I went through during the public to bite my tongue. It seems like it has to come out of you some way. And you have to find like a happy thing to be your outlet, like an activity or something like that. Like if you played sports or something like that, and you know, something that you do that you do in your spare time to give yourself a break from the things that you bottle up, that you hold in.
Everyone has boundaries in their life. What are yours?